It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. If you are a state legislator or someone who covers the legislature, chances are you didn't get outside of the state capitol building much this weekend. House reps and members of the Senate were up against the deadline for passing a state budget. They managed to beat the deadline by just a few hours, and Governor Corbett signed the budget into law, even with three of his top priorities left out of the mix: transportation funding, liquor privatization, and pension overhaul. Will have to wait until the fall for further legislative action. Joining us now to talk about what's in the plan, what still needs to be addressed, and what it all means for the Corbett administration is John Micek, editor of the Harrisburg Patriot News. He joins us by phone from Harrisburg. John Micek, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Other than walking to and from the Capitol, were you able to get outside the building much this weekend?
I didn't see a heck of a lot of sunlight over the last, 48, 72 hours. It was a lot of late nights, though.
Why does the budget always come down to last-minute negotiations?
It's pretty simple. There's nothing quite like a deadline to focus one's attention. It's just the way that it's always been. It's the pressure of the deadline. It's the lure of summer vacation. There's the threat of money being withheld for pet programs. You can't understate, I think, the gravitational pull of the budget that it exerts. I mean, it's the one major thing that lawmakers do all year. And so when you have other issues that crop up, like the ones we've been talking about these last few weeks, it invariably comes down to these final few hours.
So we have a budget, but without transportation funding, pension overhaul, and maybe the biggest item for the governor, liquor privatization. What can you tell us about the collapse of the Corbett agenda?
It was a bad weekend for Governor Tom Corbett. I mean, let's take pensions off the table right away. I mean, there was never an expectation that that was going to be part of this final push. That there had been acknowledgement going back as far as a couple of weeks ago that pensions were going to be a fall issue, simply because it's such a huge thing and so difficult to solve and has so many moving parts that a solution during this final push here was not going to be part of the equation. So that being said, transportation funding, a major priority for Republicans in the state Senate. They sent over a bill to the House, $2.5 billion over 3 years. That was funded by uncapping the wholesale gasoline tax with some tweaks to license and registration fees and some other taxes. That proved to be too much for a substantial block of conservative Republicans in the House who sort of put their foot down and said, no way, we're not going to vote for this. Absolutely not. Democrats then defected, complaining that there wasn't enough money in the package for mass transit agencies. And let's face it, the critical mass of Democrats come from Pittsburgh, your hometown, and from Philadelphia, where the vast majority of people use SEPTA and the Port Authority buses and trains. And without them, the Democrats are expected to put up, as many as 50 or 60 votes. The whole thing just came, pardon the pun, but the wheels came off the transportation plan. Liquor privatization, again, vast disagreement. The Senate was sort of ambivalent about the whole concept of liquor privatization. They are more for, quote, modernization of the existing system, which is really a focus on consumer choice and convenience, putting, beer and wine into the grocery stores or allowing beer distributors to sell six packs and wine and spirits. The House wanted full privatization, getting the state out of the wholesale and retail business entirely. And they were just never able to come to agreement on these things.
And when you look at the issue of liquor privatization, it's certainly many people who want to see it happen. Consumers certainly see it as an inconvenience. So in a sense, it's a luxury. And pension overhaul is kind of like global warming, one of those things that many people feel we're going to have to deal with sooner or later, but it can be put off. The transportation funding, or lack of it at this point, seems to be a very troubling stalemated issue. PennDOT has said without that money, weight loads will be limited on certain bridges across the state. Certain mass transit lines would go unfunded. This would upset a lot of people. John, is the window of opportunity closing here?
Well, Transportation Secretary Barry Shoak was at this news conference where Governor Corbett signed the budget into law last night. And insofar as Barry Shoke, who's a very level-headed guy, betrays any emotion, you could tell that he was peeved, not least because the state has lost another construction season for the year. So that means projects that were on the books for this year, road and bridge stuff, that's done. There's not going to be the money to do that. You know, Mr. Shoke had been walking around on the map for the last couple of weeks of what would have happened if the state had done nothing. What would have happened if they'd funded at $1.8 billion, which is what the governor had wanted, and what would have happened if they'd funded at $2.5 billion, which is the Senate plan. And yeah, you know, Paul, you're right. I mean, outside of pensions, which is, you know, which in a few years will devour, I think they said 41 cents on every state dollar or something like that. This is probably the most vexing public policy issue that Pennsylvania faces right now. We have, you know, thousands of miles of roads that are in need of repair. We have several thousand bridges that have been deemed structurally deficient. You know, and last night Mr. Shoke kind of wielded this weight restriction thing as a club in a lot of ways. Because when you weight restrict a bridge, that means detours, and that means, you know, goods and services having to detour 10, 15, you know, however many miles out of their way. That means more gas. That means the price of goods going up. That means the state's economic competitiveness being harmed. So on top of it being a public safety thing, no one wants to, you know, God forbid something horrible happens on the order of that Minnesota bridge collapse or anything else. You know, it's an economic issue as well. And this is an administration that has, you know, sort of positioned itself as one that wants to foster a good economic environment and wants to be a jobs creator. And when you have, you know, a public policy issue like this unresolved, and you have the business community clamoring for this, you know, it's a real black eye. It really is.
And as the 2014 election gets closer, there's this sense that officials will be less willing to support a plan that includes tax and fee increases, which is how, doing the math here, is how you're going to get to the $2.5 billion over 3 years, which is the Senate version of this. So yeah, where does that leave us?
It's the only way you get there. You know, you don't pay for new stuff without raising money someplace. And, you know, if the corporatistas thought Republicans in the House were allergic to raising taxes in the middle of June, when an election is kind of an abstract concept for a lot of lawmakers, let's see how well they fare in the November before an election season begins. If they thought it was hard now, it's going to be well nigh impossible. And again, unless they offer Democrats something substantial, and as we sit here today, you know, the House is going to take up a bill that could include Medicaid expansion. The word was last night that Republicans were going to strip out that language. Well, then if you're a Democrat, there's no money for mass transit, and you're taking out Medicaid, you know, remind me again why they would want to put up a tax vote if they're getting nothing back for it.
Yeah, and I want to get to the Medicaid expansion issue, but as far as transportation goes, we have a caller on the line. Sam from Aspinwall wants to join the conversation with John Micek of the Patriot News in Harrisburg. Sam, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Love your guest.
Okay.
I think the gentleman may have already answered my question, which was that just as someone who uses the roads a lot, I've been driving around and noticing a really unusually shabby state of the roads as of late. And I think he said that, you know, PennDOT is waiting to do work, but it can't do anything till the budget gets approved for transportation. Is that correct?
That is actually not entirely correct. I mean, PennDOT has a master list of road and bridge projects, and it's been moving through a lot of those. In fact, they've reduced the structurally deficient bridge backload by about 1,400 bridges, I think, or something to that effect. But the point I was trying to make was that projects it had on the books for next year that were sort of predicated on new funding have now been delayed because they're going to lose a construction season without this funding mechanism in place. And what that means is, yeah, this roads that maybe would have been repaired, you know, won't be repaired in as timely a fashion as they'd hoped.
This includes the bridge work as well?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, that's really bad. I mean, all you have to do is leave the area, like, say, drive to Maryland, and then you come back around this area, and you just – it's appalling how bad things are here. And if this is going to be held up because we can't bear to tax, you know, upper income people, that's something getting out of hand here, because it's going to get to the point where things are not manageable.
You're not the only one saying that, Sam, but this is when you contact your legislator, your senator, your representative, and make your voice heard, just as you have here on the show. Thank you for the call, Sam, from Aspinwall. As far as the Medicaid expansion language, the Senate approved it yesterday as part of the welfare code legislation, but we're hearing House Republicans will likely try to remove that section. And then there's the question, John, of will the governor even sign a bill including Medicaid expansion?
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of fencey about it last night when he was asked about it, because he's still trying to extract what he hopes will be sort of concessions from Washington on this, although it seems fairly late stage to be hoping for that. That was what we were hearing last night, that the House intended to strip out that language. Today, I mean, the Senate put in a lot of stuff, like for job search and some other conditions that the administration had sought to try to make this more palatable. But again, the governor was opposed to it from the outset, and then wanted to seek waivers from Washington, and they handed him some stuff that he'd looked for in the bill. But again, when we asked him about it last night, he was noncommittal.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Our guest is Harrisburg Patriot News editor John Micek. A lot of critics, John, are calling this a short-sighted budget. What about what they're saying?
Well, you know, if you talk to legislative Democrats, they'll tell you there's not enough money. Even though funding for public education is going up by $122 million, I think, they'll tell you there's not enough money in there for public schools. It flat funds higher education. And they're sticking with this block grant approach to funding county human service programs. You know, that's your mental health and mental retardation stuff, people with intellectual disabilities, drug and alcohol counseling, that kind of stuff. That was cut by 10% last year, to the tune of about $85 million. And that's going to continue. That's flat funded this year as well. So the Democrats look at this budget and they don't see a lot of stuff in there for them to like. Meanwhile, the administration had been trying for some major tax cuts for business. They didn't get what they were looking for on the corporate net income tax, and they got a smaller phase out of the state's capital stock and franchise tax than they were hoping for. Conversely, there was some move to close business tax loopholes, like if you're a multinational or multi-state company, you need to be business in Delaware, or if you have an address in Delaware, it's possible to skirt some Pennsylvania tax reporting laws. They tightened that up a little bit and put in something called an add back, where you have to report some income back to the state, but it's not as tight as some Democrats would like to say.
Funding for public schools has been one of those tricky, sticky issues during this session. Pamela on Twitter has a question about will the new state budget restore art, music, and library programs in public schools that were recently cut due to funding shortages?
Yeah, I Pamela must be tweeting at you and tweeting at me, because I think I got that same question as well. I mean, I think that'll be decisions made by individual districts. I admit I have not taken a look at the actual public library subsidy within the education budget. That was flat funded for a lot of years, and I think it went up a little bit last year. I haven't taken a look at what the allocation is for this year. But undoubtedly, when there's $1 billion in public education that suddenly vanishes, as was the case with the first Corbett budget, districts make difficult decisions about what programs they will want to fund and what programs they will choose not to. And if local schools see some increase in their subsidy this year, they're going to have to decide how to best allocate that money. If that means hiring back, say, a history teacher who had to be furloughed as a consequence of cuts, or if it means adding back, gym or music or art or whatever, those are going to be decisions made on the local level, I suspect.
With the way this budget has turned out, what does it mean for the Corbett administration, and especially heading into a year where he's seeking re-election?
As we wrote this morning, the governor undoubtedly needs political victories heading into 2014. There is a packed field of likely Democratic there's a packed field of Democratic primary challengers out there. Congresswoman Allison Schwartz from the Philadelphia suburbs, Tom Wolf, a former Rendell administration figure, Rob McCord, the state treasurer for Montgomery County, Katie McGinty, the former DEP secretary, and some undercard candidates as well. So it's a packed primary field. They see a candidate, they see an incumbent governor who is weakened, and if you look at his poll numbers, that's certainly substantiated. The governor undoubtedly needs some political wins, something that he can come back to Pennsylvanians and say, well, you know, true, I did cut spending, but I did that in the furtherance of making us more economically competitive. And in addition, if this comes through in the fall, I got liquor and wine into the grocery store, or excuse me, beer and wine into the grocery stores, and I passed some amount of money for new road and bridge repairs. It's always tell him what you did, and if he doesn't have anything to tell people that he did, it becomes that much more difficult for him in this field. That said, Pennsylvanians are historically loath to toss incumbent governors, but there's a first time for everything.
Last question for you, John. Lawmakers are not recessed for the summer yet. They are, as I understand it, they're still working on budget-related stuff. What are they doing?
Yep, like I said, so they're focusing on the actual enabling bills that will give the state the authority to spend money. And we talked about this at the top of the hour. There's about a half dozen so-called trailer bills that are attached to the general fund that provide direction and authority to spend the money that's allocated within the general fund budget. So that's the house cleaning they're doing now. That's the welfare code and the school code and the tax code and the fiscal code, that kind of thing. So the House is taking care of a lot of that stuff now. The state Senate has given its members warning that they need to return to Harrisburg on 6 hours' notice.
John, are you there? Well, sounds like we lost John Micek, but we got the gist of what he's saying, that the work while – oh, John, are you there? There you are.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, we kind of lost you there for a second. You had left off where you were saying that the Senate had been members of the Senate had been given 6 hours' notice to return?
That's right. Because if the House ends up stripping out the Medicaid language, that's an already approved Senate bill, they'll have to kick it back over to the Senate for what's known as a concurrence vote. And the Senate may insist on its language, which would set up another sort of face-off. State senators who went home last night, 8, 9 o'clock, have been told, get ready to come back in just in case we need to fix up anything from the House.
John Micek is the editor of the Harrisburg Patriot News. John, thanks for your time. Get some R&R.
Hey, Paul, thanks very much.
Coming up, we'll continue our look at obesity as a disease, how it's treated by doctors and nutritionists. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.